Hello, we meet again. So welcome back. This is the sixth episode, I think, in this continuing series on consulting conversations. And just to reflect, so far, we've mostly been talking about listening skills, active listening, questioning, building the client relationship, questioning and probing to clarify and play back the client context, the problem, the outcome, so on. Well, this is the first of the conversation skills that moves on from listening. It's probably a good balance that our focus has been on listening, but now we're turning to a storytelling skill, and perhaps one of the most important stories that you can tell as a change leader, as an influencer, as a consultant. And this is the story of business value, the business value from change. I'm going to be talking about this as a narrative which allows you to align your stakeholders around end goals, to build coalitions of support and get buy-in to the change, and really to make clear to your stakeholders, your sponsors, your clients, that the problem you're addressing, you know, is a real problem experienced by real people, and that there is genuine value to be realized from addressing it and from achieving the outcome. Now, I can hear you think, oh, hang on, Chris, you know, I've been with you so far, and, you know, I get all these listening skills, but when you start, you know, saying that something as important as a value, you know, is a story, isn't a story, you know, just something we've made up? You know, how about all this stuff, you know, that I learned on my finance degree or on my MBA? How about, you know, the real analysis of cost-benefit analysis and calculating net present value and all of those spreadsheets and showing payback times and costs to achieve? And yes, of course, that's all important, but I would ask you to reflect on how people in large organizations, senior executives and clients, how do people really come to decisions? I think what the research tells us, to be honest, is that many people, perhaps most people, act and take decisions out of belief and out of emotion. And that's where the motivation lies. Then that is rationalized with data and numbers. Which means that when we're seeking to have influence and impact and drive change, then our communication skills are at least as important as our analysis skills. And in fact, great analysis and great ideas without effective communications might just not go any further. So what do we know about communications? Well, some simple principles. Let's start by saying, if you're going to communicate with somebody, you have to speak their language. And in a business context with senior executives, then that means speaking the language of business, which is the language of business value. Let me just tell you a little story to illuminate this. I'm coaching a really smart engineer, and he was finding it very, very difficult to influence, you know, good engineering and the right course of action with his business stakeholders. And when we dug into it, I said, tell me, how does the conversation play? He said, well, you know, I explained to them, you know, the technical debt and the architectural principles and, you know, the architectural end state. And I just said, well, you know, stop there, because you're saying things that have real meaning to you, but this is not the language of the people you're speaking to. So have the same conversation, but change your words. So next time, you know, say something like, well, yeah, you know, we could do this, and you know, the way you're approaching it is absolutely possible. However, it's very costly and it's very expensive. And I think it's probably the most expensive thing we can do, judged over time. So he made that change. And the moral of the story is changing the language, speaking the language, he started to get through and at least get into a conversation about what might be a less costly way forward. So number one, you know, speak their language, absolutely fundamental. Number two, keep it simple. Again, as experts, and we're all experts in our field, and you know, we're all some of us are consultants, some of us are software engineers, some of us are architects, some of us are finance and operations people, and we have our jargon, and if we're highly analytical people, we think systemically. Often we embrace complexity because those are the, you know, complex and interesting challenges we work on. But from a communications perspective, you know, you cannot communicate a big bowl of spaghetti. You have to keep it, number one, keep it simple. And the third principle is to apply a structure. Therefore, bearing those principles in mind, I am proposing to you to adopt a simple three-act structure. So a business value narrative decomposing into effectively three separate stories. This will have a beginning, a middle, and an end. It is the basic narrative and dramatic form. So a three-act structure. The three acts for business value narrative. Act one, the problem story. So tell the problem as a story. Act two, present the outcome and the value of the outcome as a story. And then act three, tell the story of adoption and impact. Moving forwards with our narrative, though, I am going to make the assumption that we have validated the problem. And it is a problem genuinely worth the effort of solving it, in which case we move to Act Two, which is the outcome and value story. And again, the good news is we've already clarified the outcome, so we already have a positive description of the future state and how that will be evidenced. And absolutely, we share that. And I think we can go further at this point. We now make the link from outcome to benefit. So when we achieve the outcome, when the organization achieves the outcome, how do we communicate the value? Now, in most businesses, there are actually just a small number of value cases that you can draw on. So the most powerful is your ability to operate the business. So if this is about, you know, fundamentally stability, access, security, keeping the lights on, I mean, that is the most powerful element of value. Building up from that, I think over and above operating the business, then people will focus on the risk of operating the business. So anything you can point to in terms of positive impact on operational risk or reputational risk or risk of audit points or penalties from the regulator, you know, absolutely very powerful. Moving up from that, we will get into savings and productivity. So what is this going to save me? And then moving up from that, we can move to competitive advantage. So not only what is this going to save me, but what is it going to make me? How is this going to differentiate us relative to the competition? Incidentally, in my experience, a couple of very powerful emotional levers to pull here is insight into what competitors are doing. If our competitors are stealing a march on us, then you know that is a very, very powerful call to action, as is the voice of the customer. So any direct customer survey and feedback. So you can talk about the value in general terms. You could illustrate it with a vivid scenario of how the organization, you know, or its clients will experience the value in the future and how that will lead to positive outcomes. And once again, you know, back it up with the numbers. If we are, you know, if we're going to make a case about, you know, revenue opportunity, if we're going to make a case about productivity and savings, if we're going to make a case about risk avoidance, then, you know, this is where your finance people and your MBA people with the analytical skills and the Excel skills, they will help you. You absolutely have to build a model with these numbers and plug these numbers in into the story. So if you like it, it's words and music. Some people would perhaps at this stage just like a little example to try and fix these ideas. So just a, you know, simple everyday example could be, you know, telling the value story of, you know, something like a like an office move. You know, I would start with describing the current state, the problem. We're outgrowing our offices. It's impossible to get meeting rooms. It doesn't create the right impression to clients. I might even get some client feedback into that. I definitely talk about the issues of what happens when we can't accommodate our people and they end up having to work out of cafes or work from home and the missed opportunities that result from that in terms of collaboration. So I'd be telling that very much in human terms about, you know, the existing experience in the existing offices. And I know as I tell that story to people who are in it, who are living the situation, you know, I will see nodding heads. You know, people will agree with you. It's also very, very true, you know, if you're pitching a proposal as a consultant, this, you know, our understanding of your needs is, you know, where you lay out that situation and you prove you've listened, you demonstrate you've understood your client needs. And clients say that is often the most important page. You know, if you get that right, then your client or your reader or your communication audience is in agreement with you. When you come to talk about the vision and the value, you know, definitely an attractive outcome. You know, we're going to have the whole organization, you know, under one roof, facilitating collaboration, representing the brand internally and externally, improving the client experience. And I would need to find some numbers behind that as well. So, you know, what is the value here? Maybe this is around differentiating us. Perhaps we, you know, we can save cost on the facilities, but we'd have to look at the power of collaboration and the impact on productivity, the ability to host better meetings with our clients, driving more revenue. And I'd probably look to connect that vision to a higher level strategy or goal of the organization. So if the organization's seeking to grow, we are outgrowing our existing premises, we need a platform for growth. So you can communicate the value, bring people with you. They will look at the cost benefit analysis later. Of course, that's important. And of course, you're not going to present something that doesn't make economic or commercial sense. Now we can move on to the third and final act of our three-act drama. So our adoption story, I would decompose that into three elements. I think they're all powerful. Firstly, sponsorship. Now, when I talk about sponsor, I mean the most senior manager or the most senior executive accountable for the change and supporting the change. So senior responsible officer in some people's jargon. But this is that highest level of support that you already have buy-in to in the organization. So the sponsor role, we'll probably talk about it again because it's very important as we move into execution. But at this stage, what the sponsor does from a communications perspective is the sponsor lends you their brand. So you are now inheriting influence and authority and political power. You're deriving that from your sponsor's brand that, if you like, is being loaned to you for the purposes of this communication. And significantly, another thing sponsors do is they give you funding, which is absolutely, you know, part of what you're going to get to from telling this story well. So you have a sponsor, that's important. I think it's equally important to have at least one, preferably a few, early adopters in the bag. So again, as a story, you know, tell the use case of those early adopters. When your change has occurred, who are those early adopters and why are they interested and motivated to get, you know, to get on board with your change and to start to experience the benefits early? You know, so any feedback you have from your early adopters, who is supporting you, why are they supporting you, and what is influencing them? So nice piece of adoption story. And then finally, look beyond the early adopters, because if your solution is only going to be adopted by a few, then it will have, you know, limited commercial impact. So you do need to be able to illustrate your impact at scale. So think about the enterprise, stand in the future, imagine you were building on success and you drove widespread adoption of your desired future state, your future way of working. You know, what is the impact on that? How many people are involved? What is the scale of the economic advantage that that will generate? There you have it then. There you have the whole narrative. In summary, what I've been saying is if you do a decent job of clarification at this point in the cycle, you can set yourself up to do some really powerful communication. And it is really worth investing, you know, the effort in that core deck or pitch deck that's going to present your story. You know, I do see this as write once, tell often, put in the effort, you know, to get the master story straight, and then take every opportunity to communicate it as you go through the change journey. And trust me, you should be communicating this not just, you know, once at inception to get the funding, but this is a continuous communications need as you onboard different colleagues and groups and suppliers and teams and stakeholders. You need to take them through the story to build that shared understanding and to generate the motivation. So to build your coalition of support. So hopefully there's something there that you can work with, and the next time you're seeking to influence, you know, apply these principles and see what works. If you'd like to go further, there's a couple of more advanced techniques or related techniques I'd just like to draw to your attention. One is something called the future press release. Now, this technique has been popularized by Amazon, amongst others. Well, what they would have you do at the outset of any innovation activity is to stand in the future and write the press release you would like to be putting out when your change has matured and been delivered. So you are telling your success story in advance in a way that you would share that in a press release with the outside world. I've used this myself on multiple occasions now, and I've recommended it to other people as well. And the experience is universally powerful by, you know, pinning these thoughts down on paper and using this thought experiment to actually write the communication. It is a massively helpful clarification step. So that's one technique. There's another technique that I really like and is increasingly being practiced, and that is mapping all of this information into what is known as a lean canvas. So it's one of the very early stages of the lean startup methodology and cycle. A canvas is a single sheet of paper. Lean because a single sheet of paper is a lot easier to read and digest, and in many ways a lot easier to produce than a 60-page business plan. So a single sheet of paper that talks about your target market, your value proposition, your customer base, your channels to customer, how your solution solves the problem, and so on. I'm not going to do that justice just here between me and the microphone, but absolutely go and Google that or research it further. Pinning your thoughts down into a lean canvas is another very good way of capturing all of the things that we've been clarifying. You know, when these things are done, I think you can honestly say you're complete for now on clarification, and you should then be thinking about moving forwards. The next stage in the cycle is create. So as we go forward, I'm really looking forward to being able to share with you some ideas on creative problem solving, divergent thinking, and how you facilitate those processes. So something for us all, I hope, to look forward to. But for now, thank you for your attention. This is Chris.